Labas and saying good afternoon. This is Guest of the Day with us for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and also at ktym.com, live streaming audio on the internet anywhere in the world. We'll be right back.
Keli Žekelaitė, visų žemių karalaitė, pasakyk į Žekelaitė, kas tas yra viens.
Thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. As usual, we give you the 10-day forecast. And tomorrow, it will be rainy, very, in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Will be rainy with a high of only about 61 degrees, and at night it'll be 49. Then there'll be partly cloudy skies with showers, 60 degrees on Monday. And then temperatures will begin to rise, 65, 66, 67, 68, 67, 68, up to the 70s by next weekend, with lows in the high 40s, low 50s, with thunderstorms. Trouble with thunderstorms in Lithuania is it's not like L.A. It's very humid, so be prepared to sweat, even if it's 68 degrees. Now, if you haven't figured out by now, I just got back from Lithuania with my wife, Audra, and we were out there, too. And you know what? What you want is about 65 degrees and partly cloudy skies. That's what you want. That's the kind of weather you want to be walking around in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. In the meantime, we had a couple of happy birthdays to mention to some loyal listeners. Teresa Avigianis on August 25th, and Joanne Munichalski on August 20th. Thank you for listening, and happy birthday to you. Now, in the meantime, while we were gone on the 7th, Mirga Gražinytė Tyla, Mirga Gražinytė Tyla, has come to Los Angeles, and she conducted the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra at the Hollywood Bowl. It was sort of her premiere. She was outstanding. Los Angeles Times did a great review, said she was excellent, and at least as far as we know, officially, over 100 Lithuanian Americans attended the concert, and she met graciously with the attendees that chose to meet with her after the performance. We were thrilled. They were thrilled. Everyone was thrilled. It was a wonderful evening. On the 7th of next month, the Gražinietes, the Los Angeles Gražinietes, will be presenting the book signing, God Gave Us Wings. God Gave Us Wings. This is kind of unique because, you know, we've had a couple of books out, and, you know, the last one, about Between Shades of Gray was about the deportations to Siberia. This is a different angle. God Gave Us Wings is about Lithuanians who fled to the West and how they had to retreat with the German army and when the Bolsheviks were coming in 1944. So it's kind of a different story. And it's up at the Upper Church Hall at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. Again, Gražinietė's book signing, God Gave Us Wings, at the Upper Church Hall at noon on Sunday on the 7th of September. September 7th, noon, God Gave Us Wings, book signing. Again, the story of most of our parents and grandparents and how they fled to the West rather than stay in Lithuania. So that ought to be a great day. And, of course, the first weekend of October will be Lithuanian days. Lietuvių dienos in Los Angeles, which is always a great time to meet hundreds, if not thousands, of your closest Lithuanian friends there at St. Casimir Parish Hall for Saturday and Sunday. All you have to remember is it's the first weekend of October. The first weekend of October at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds, the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. Now, before we go to break, I want to share with you a little article from the New York Times that came out on the 20th, a couple days ago. International real estate, house hunting in Lithuania. How do you like that? The New York Times covered this. A renovated three-bedroom apartment in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Approximate value, $770,000. A 1,500-square-foot apartment in a 1903 villa in central Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania and largest city. The three-story structure was designed by Antonas Filipovičius Dubovnikas, a leading Lithuanian architect of that time, in the style of the Vienna Secession. Over the years, the apartment has been divided into a series of small rooms, but the owner, Julia Janus, a fashion designer and interior designer, returned it to its original configuration during 2010 during a renovation, and said her husband, Stasis Baltakis. The apartment is being sold furnished. That's because you don't like to crane things into these small windows, by the way. That's a side comment by me. Anyway, a short flight of stairs from the street level leads to a foyer and corridor. The apartment is centered around a great room of about 500 square feet that has an open kitchen in one corner, a dining area, and a salon. The kitchen was designed by Ms. Janus with a focus on convenience, Mr. Baltakis said. Custom curved cabinets and counterwoods are wood. There's a gas range, a dishwasher, and a refrigerator, which are all made by Electrolux. Adjacent to the kitchen is a monumental ceramic tile fireplace, original to the building. Mr. Baltakis said the villa was known as the Poppy and Sunflower House, and the tiles depict stylized sunflowers. A second fireplace with poppy motif is across the apartment in one of the bedrooms. The light-filled living area, which faces the street, has built-in bookshelves and storage that double as seats. The flooring is dark-stained oak for durability, according to Mr. Baltakis, with the exception of the original pine in one of the bedrooms. Imagine that, original pine, over 100 years old. A small guest bedroom is reached via a door from the great room. The other two bedrooms, including the master suite, are off the entry corridor. The blue-tiled master bathroom retains its original bathtub from 1903, which is mounted on a contemporary wood stand. A washer and dryer and a walk-in closet are also off the main corridor, as is the second bedroom. The home is in a semi-urban neighborhood that is home to a number of embassies, including the American and German. Old Town Vilnius, a UNESCO World Heritage Site with its narrow streets, eclectic architecture, and historic charm, is about a five-minute walk away, and the Central Business District about 3 minutes walk away, according to Mr. Baltakis. The Vilnius International Airport is less than a 15-minute drive to the south. Now, as far as a market overview goes, this is not an old town. If this was an old town, it would be double the price. Okay, let's get that straight. If this was in old town, it would be double the price. But a general market overview will tell you that the real estate market in Lithuania is still in its development stages, as the country declared its independence from the Soviet Union just in 1990. Nonetheless, Lithuanians are avid homebuyers with an ownership rate of over 90%. You get that? Over 90% of Lithuanians own their own home. This is according to Arnoldas Antonovičius, the head of the consultation and an analysis department at InReal, one of Lithuania's oldest real estate companies. Quote, most Lithuanians have a lifetime goal to live in their own home, he said, explaining that it is seen as a status symbol. The market in Vilnius sets the tone for the rest of the country. Quote, market trends always start in Vilnius, and later, within 12 to 18 months, they spread into other main cities and towns of Lithuania. The most desirable area within Vilnius is, of course, Old Town, where two-bedroom, unrenovated apartments can be found for as little as $250,000, with luxury apartments move-in condition topping out at $1.3 million. The price for such properties is around $770 per square foot, okay? Figure it out, $770 per square foot. That's according to Audrius Sapoka, the manager of the residential real estate department at the Vilnius office of Uberhaus, which has branches all around the Baltics, including Riga and Tallinn, Estonia. There is also a small market for luxury houses in more suburban neighborhoods, in particular Antakalnis, which used to be considered a very prestigious suburban neighborhood of Vilnius. It's northeast of the city center. Mr. Sapoka said prices began there at about $750,000 and are now up to $3 million U.S. dollars. Prices began to surge after 2004 when Lithuania joined the EU. People started accumulating a little more money, a little more savings, said Ignas Vaitkunskas, a founder of RE Baltic, a real estate company based in Vilnius. After we entered the EU, he said, everyone was feeling well. Housing seemed to be a stable investment. But with that confidence came looser lending standards, Mr. Vaitkauskas said, similar to conditions in other countries that set the stage for the global housing and credit crisis that began here and elsewhere in 2008. Home prices fell by as much as 40 to 50%, according to agents, with many properties falling into foreclosure. Lithuania, a one-time so-called Baltic Tiger, was shaken by the unrest over economic austerity measures. The country's economy has since recovered quite well, as a matter of fact, and with banks selling off the last of foreclosed properties, the housing market has stabilized, said Mr. Vaitkunauskas and other agents. Prices in the luxury segment have actually risen by about 5% in the last year. However, there are two clouds of uncertainty that are hanging over the real estate market and the larger economy. Of course, first, the recent tension between the West and Russia, fueled by the situation in Ukraine, has made investors cautious and wary of a punitive sanctions battle. Quote, we are members of NATO. People are feeling rather safe, said Mr. Vaitkunauskas. But there is a war in Ukraine, and if it escalates a little more, it could escalate a global economic downturn, he says. A less pressing concern is the effect of Lithuania's joining the Eurozone in January of 2015, which is, what, 5 months away. The owners think prices will go up. The buyers are hoping they will not go up, he said. My personal opinion is that the euro definitely brings stability and it takes out the current risk of having a currency unique to Lithuania, which is the litas. Who buys in Vilnius, by the way, these days, is the question. Paulus Gebrauskas, an owner of Baltic Sotheby's International Realty, which is listing the home we're talking about, said that Vilnius is steadily becoming a more international market. Though about 80% of his buyers are still Lithuanian, Scandinavia, with its historic trading ties to the Baltic, is the main source of foreign buyers, he said, especially Danes and Norwegians. quote, they are investing, doing business, and buying premium real estate here, especially in the greater Vilnius area. Mr. Vaitkunauskas cited a similar figure for Lithuanian buyers and said that in addition to Scandinavians, he saw a number of buyers from Russia and neighboring Belarus. Now, according to what you might call buying basics, there are no restrictions on foreign buyers in Lithuania. Transaction costs are very low, he said. All property sales must go through a notary. Now, a notary in Lithuania is not like a notary here in the U.S. It's closer to being an attorney, but somewhere halfway in between. Okay? All property sales must go through that notary. Fees are about 0.5% of the sales price. In addition, there is a small land registry fee, usually no more than about $200, Mr. Vaitkunauskas added. A lawyer, if used, will charge between $200 and $250 an hour. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The Lithuanian real estate market has pretty much recovered. Old Town is still very expensive, but prime real estate is being bought up by Russians and Scandinavians. It makes you wonder about war worries. We'll be right back. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the program, my wife and I, Audra, have just returned from Lithuania. And actually, we framed a cruise in the Mediterranean where we were supposed to go to Jerusalem and Egypt with a week in Lithuania before and a week in Lithuania after. And because the government's fallen apart in Egypt, that was canceled. And because of the war in Israel, that was canceled. So I saw a lot of Greek islands and a lot of Greek ruins. And thank goodness we had some great guides who made one ruin not look just like the other ruin. But that being said, I want to talk a little bit about Lithuania. First of all, we hit a heat wave in Lithuania at the Curonian Spit. And if you know what the Curonian Spit is, that's where the sand dunes are. That's Neringa, Nida, and Smeltina. That's where you take the ferry from Klaipeda, and you go about, 200 yards across to the Curonian Spit. It was the hottest there in 20 years. As a matter of fact, other places in Lietuva broke 100-year records in heat. You're talking about 90-degree plus heat. So here you are on the Curonian Spit, which is, in essence, an island. Okay, because you take the ferry over there, it's in essence an island surrounded by water all around on all four sides, okay, and the temperature is 92 degrees with about 90% humidity. The Baltic Sea was like a lake, barely with any waves. Problem being, however, that it was still quite cold. According to the weather forecasters in the area, they said that the currents were shifting and that the water would be warm the next day. Of course, not having a lot of time to spend there, we decided that day to take the plunge. Yes, I took the plunge into the Baltic Sea all the way up to my head, underwater, dove, and swam. Unfortunately, I had my telephone with me, so my phone drowned in the Baltic Sea, but still, it was quite the experience. But anyway, during the day in Nida, which is the closest Lithuanian town to Kaliningrad, and which is a resort town, beautiful place. It was a ghost town during the day because it was so hot. About 9 o'clock in the evening, thousands of people, literally thousands of people, hit the streets. So it was a completely different scene. So Nida was quite the experience. I've been there a dozen times before, but always the temperatures has been mild, somewhere in the 70s, low 80s, and the town was vibrant during the day. During this trip, it was dead during the day, only alive at night. You can also see that over the last couple of years, many businesses have gone under or changed names at least. And it's, you know, happy, sad kind of a thing. Places that you thought were there for you that you liked 2 or 3 or 4 years ago do not exist. New places exist. Prices have gone up significantly. Lithuania is joining the Eurozone. And to make that clear, Lithuania is already part of the EU, the European Union, but is not adopting the euro till January 1st of this year. But already prices, especially in big cities like Vilnius, okay, like Vilnius, the capital, are skyrocketing. Vilnius is no longer a cheap vacation. You must go to the countryside to get reasonable or cheap prices. So that's sort of a quick overview of Lithuania in the late summer of 2014, after most of the American tourists have left after the Dainu Šventė. As a matter of fact, we were asked quite a bit by locals if we had been to the Šventė, had been to the Song Festival, and we said, no, we came afterwards, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is that though beautiful, Lithuania is no longer a cheap vacation if you stay in the major cities. Now, let me add a caveat to that. Of course, it's cheaper than Berlin. It's cheaper than going to Italy. It's cheaper than going to Austria or anywhere else. But it is no longer the bargain basement kind of vacation that it used to be just a couple of years ago. We'll be right back. Now, by the way, if you're wondering where this strange and odd music that you're hearing is coming from, it's from Sutaras. Now, you've heard Sutaras plenty of times performing traditional Lithuanian folk music. This is an album called Vilnius Jazz Quartet Ethno Jazz. Ethno Jazz by Sutaras. I know the members of the band, and they always experiment with Lithuanian music, from going to folk rock to traditional folk music, and this one is called Ethno Jazz, just in case you wondered. Now, Šiauliai is under the jurisdiction of the Panevėžys for investigation when it comes to crimes and punishment as far as the police go. Šiauliai police officers are on trial for corruption and drug dealing, says a recent story from Delphi, D-A-L-F-I, dot L-T. Panevėžys prosecutors are charging 18 police officers with bribery, corruption, drug dealing, and unlawful possession of firearms and ammunition. They will face charges for allegedly seizing and reselling various narcotic substances, providing false testimonies, writing false police reports, and counterfeiting evidence for prosecution of persons. The investigation started back in 2012 after the Prosecutor General's Office and the Lithuanian Criminal Police Bureau received information about possibly unlawful actions of the Šiauliai Organized Crime Investigation Bureau officers in connection to drug deals. According to case information, the police officers released a detained suspect for a huge bribe. If found guilty, the officers may face up to 15 years in prison. Now, there are a couple of other stories that we should cover here before we run out of time on Independent Lithuanian Radio, but a few things that you need to know. Since I've just come back from Lithuania and gotten in contact with the radio station that is broadcasting this program, KTYM.com, is the station has not yet been sold. The deal with the Catholic Radio Network has fallen through. So as far as we know, we will continue to be broadcasting every Saturday at noon, okay? So for the foreseeable future, every Saturday at noon here at KTYM.com or KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, you'll be able to hear us doing Independent Lithuanian Radio here in the English language. Once again, we will continue to do this as long as possible. The station is still for sale. However, the recent deal has fallen through, and we are once again, with sort of no boundaries, and probably till the new year, going to be broadcasting every Saturday at noon here at KTYM.com, KTYM 1460 on your radio dial. And once again, KTYM.com can be reached anywhere in the world via the internet, live streaming audio. A couple of words about Lithuania. As I mentioned before, prices are up. The looking forward to the euro, prices in Vilnius in particular have gone up dramatically. In Klaipeda, quite a bit. In Kaunas, a little bit. But the bottom line is that your inexpensive, cheap vacation in Lithuania has just become a bit more expensive. Get out of Vilnius and you'll still find plenty of bargains. That's all I can really tell you. The other thing I can tell you, however, is that Lithuanians are traveling a lot, going overseas, the kids are coming home, and it's not quite the push and shove environment it used to be. Lithuanians are politer. The people at the cashiers at Maxima and at Iki storefronts are kinder and sweeter to you. You get a smile, a hello, and a goodbye, and a greeting. So that's the good news. You don't feel like you're going to get run over if you step off the curb a second too late or a second too early after the change of a light. So overall, the living conditions, though more expensive, are kinder to the Western mentality in Lithuania. This is Kęstutis Reiva, thus for Independent Lithuanian Radio. Thanks for listening again here at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and once again at KTYM.com. Tune in next week for more. We appreciate your support. Iki pasimatymo. Malonės ir iš malonės Dievo apšvietimą, tai minys.